It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Welcome back to another episode of Leading LDS, the podcast where we sit down and discover ways to be a better leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or just leadership in life would work too. Today, I want to do a book review, because here's the thing. I read a lot of books, and I'm always trying to learn new concepts, new approaches to leadership that I may have not considered in the past. I read a lot of books, and I get so many ideas as I read these books. I think, this principle here, it's got to be shared on Leading LDS, so I've got to do a post for this one. And I get so overwhelmed with these list of ideas, and then I move on to the next book, and I just don't get around to writing those posts because there's so many I could write in relation to the principles I learn in these books, and I just don't get around to it. And so I just want to talk to you about a book I read, and I'm just going to kind of fire hose you with some information, and maybe in the future I'll maybe focus in on some of these principles, or if somebody out there wants to do it that's read these books, I'm more than happy to do that, give you the floor to write a post and really dig into these principles, because this is how we become better leaders, is look at the research that's out there and studies and really contemplate how we can apply these into our personal leadership and have better wards and elders' quorums or relief societies, whatever it be. So today I want to review the book called Rookie Smarts, Why Learning Beats Knowing in the New Game of Work. And this is by Liz Wiseman. Now, Liz Wiseman teaches leadership to executives across the world. You can find videos of her teaching or presenting to Google and being the keynote in various places. She's also the president of the Wiseman Group, which is a leadership research and development center, which is headquartered in Silicon Valley in California. And Liz Wiseman is a BYU graduate and a Mormon. And I have actually met Liz Wiseman, and that's a whole other story. I'm working on getting her scheduled in the next few weeks for an interview on this podcast, and that is going to be so good. I want to schedule 3 or 4 hours, but I'm afraid her assistant probably will only give me an hour, at most 30 minutes if I'm lucky, probably. But I'm really excited to talk with her. She's a brilliant mind, and the fact that she understands the LDS world, she has a lot to offer, and I want to get her on this podcast as much as possible. So the main premise of this book, Rookie Smarts, is the fact that we sometimes put too much stock in experience, too much stock in those that have been through it all, seen it all, and the gray-haired leaders in whatever organization you are. And Liz Wiseman brings an interesting perspective that in reality it's the rookies that have the advantage over those that are established. And the way she goes about this, and I should have mentioned, she also wrote the book Multipliers. If you've not read the book, that's another one to put on your list, and another one. I've done some posts regarding the principles on Multipliers, but really worth a read, and I probably need to do more posts and research in relation to the LDS world with the Multipliers principles. But in this Rookie Smarts book, she approaches it in a similar way as Multipliers, where she has certain anecdotes that she uses to help explain why rookies have an advantage. And they're basically called the four mindsets of rookies. Now, as I go through these and explain these and what I've how I've applied them to the LDS world, understand that these aren't personality types. So a leader shouldn't try and fit themselves and say, oh yeah, I am definitely this person. But these are more behaviors that rookies exhibit, and what the other veterans exhibit. And so the four anecdotes that she references is 1, the backpacker; 2, hunter-gatherer; 3, firewalker; 4, settler. And then she has kind of an antithesis to each one of these. And I'll go through those. So the first one, starting with a backpacker and the traits of a backpacker and how they relate to rookies and why rookies have the advantage. So a backpacker, you know, has the backpack. They're not filling their truck or van full, as we see many scouters do out there, bringing everything plus the kitchen sink to the campground. But backpackers just have what's in their back. So they've got nothing to lose. They don't have a lot of stuff that's weighing them down, that's not allowing them to explore. And that's exactly what it does. It allows them to not be restrained with those resources and allows them to go explore the forest, go explore the world, and discover solutions that those with all the that are being weighed down, those resources, wouldn't have that that pleasure of doing. Backpackers open to new possibilities. They're not encumbered with the best practices. And that's one fault of the antithesis to a backpacker, which Sister Wiseman calls a caretaker. That you don't want to be a caretaker. You don't want to have a reputation of in your past that you're always trying to uphold, right? Rookies have the benefit of not having a reputation that they've got to rely on and that is getting them further along in their career. And so a reputation can weigh them down and change their perspective. So they're just focusing on maintaining that reputation and sticking with all the best practices. Well, a rookie doesn't have to do that. A rookie can forget the best practices. In fact, they don't even know what the best practices are, so they find better practices to do that. Where caretakers, they limit what is possible because they're always staying on the safe path. You know, this is what I've done before, so I'm going to just stay here, and it's proven to work in the past, so hopefully it'll work this time. Okay, so there's various ways that you can be a backpacker in your LDS leadership that's gonna benefit you. The next mindset or behavior that she talks about is the hunter-gatherer. And a hunter-gatherer, as opposed to what she says is a local guide. Okay, when you're out hunting and gathering, you're disoriented, and you focus on the details of your surroundings. A rookie is always paying close attention to their surroundings. Maybe think back to that time when you had a new calling. I remember the first 6 weeks of being bishop. My sense of the details was so much more keen. Where now I'm a few years into being a bishop, and I get caught up in going through the motions. And so by being a rookie and maintaining that attention, the detail is going to help quite a bit. A rookie also, or a hunter-gatherer, is more apt to seek out the experts, build a network of people that have been there before that they're maybe going to ask questions to and be in that learning mode. Now, just like I mentioned before, the caretaker or those that are established, you know, they have that experience. And there's no sense saying that there's no value in that experience. There definitely is. But it's being in the experience and going through the motions of doing things just because you've done the way before, where a rookie is maybe looking at experiencing doing it because they see why it works, not just because they know it works. Okay, I remember in high school, I had a physics teacher, Mr. Van Tassel, at Granger High School back in 2000. And he had spent some time in his professional life over in Europe. I don't remember exactly what he does. I remember he was in the oil business, but he was a physicist in the oil business. And I don't know why I remember this, but I think it applies here. But he talks about, or he shared the experience of when he'd do interviews for individuals. He would, if they had a college degree, they'd usually get an extra point on the scale. If they had a master's degree, they usually get a couple extra points. But if they had a PhD, they'd get docked points because they try and solve every problem the same way. And that's kind of what experience, the negative impact that experience can have on a leader, is that they just revert back to the resources of experience they have, and they try and solve this problem the same way every time. And there may be a much better way to solve a problem. And so I always like that example of, just because you have a PhD doesn't necessarily mean that you are more apt to solve problems better. It may mean that you have tunnel vision and only trying to solve a problem a certain way. So that's a kind of a hunter-gatherer, where the local guide, you know, the expert, the experienced person, they stay within their comfort zone. They're the ones that are usually doling out the advice rather than asking really good questions and being in that learning phase. Their experience and knowledge gives them this false sense of confidence. They think like an advisor and simply guide the group rather than thinking as a rookie. They're looking for data that confirms what they already know, right? They've experienced before, so they're only looking to confirm what they think they know. And a rookie doesn't fall into that trap. The next one is the firewalker. The example of a firewalker, where if you're walking on coals, you're operating cautiously but very quickly. And you're making small, calculated steps, always seeking feedback. Where the antithesis of a firewalker is a marathoner, where they have, you know, they prove themselves in the past. They're going at a steady as she goes pace, and they have that mentality. It's like, you know, just keep going consistently by the consistent beat of how we've done it before, and we'll get there. You know, they take big proven steps instead of being, you know, short steps like the firewalkers. They're taking big steps that have been proven, and they say, I've done this before, so I'm going to take this big step. And they assume that they're still doing a good job. They fall into the assumption that as long as things are going okay and there's no fires that they have put out, they must be doing a pretty good job. Okay, the last one that I want to talk about before I get into maybe some applications of how I think some of this applies to church leadership is the pioneer. This is the anecdote that the final one she gives, as a rookie is a pioneer, as opposed to the experienced person being a settler. Okay, and I think this has some good parallels to Mormondom. But so a pioneer, they have to improvise and work tirelessly for just the basic needs, right? And I think we can all remember being there where we're new on a job or new in a calling, and we're just trying to make it work. We're just trying to at least have the teacher show up on Sundays, or at least have home teaching routes to give out. Who knows if they'll get done, but at least I've done my job with getting them handed out. Pioneer keeps things simple. And that's the beauty is experience. And I've noticed this in my own habits. As now I'm 3 or 4 years into being bishop, I try and make things so complicated. I see a problem, and so I sit the bishopric down, and we filled up whiteboards before. I mean, like, this is going to be great. Then we step back and say, that machine has way too moving parts. The implementation of that would be just impossible. And so we step back and remember to keep things simple in our callings. Veteran or pioneers, they're always outside their comfort zone. And there are volumes of books from our LDS pioneers that show they were in nothing more than outside their comfort zone. And they were blessed and sanctified because of that, which is a whole other podcast. Where these established settlers, you know, they're working within the establishment, and they have all their basic needs met, right? They focus on just maintaining the comfort. As long as everybody's comfortable, let's keep going, rather than focus on how can we be more successful. They rely on what's available and what they've established. They're always following the protocols, right? This is the rule. This is how it's done. So this is what we must do. So those are the four areas, the four mindsets, anecdotes that she focuses on: the backpacker, the hunter-gatherer, the firewalker, and the pioneer. And I think they're very effective in helping us remember the traits of what it means to be a rookie. She has a quote from Bill Gates in the book on page 54 that says, "Success is a lousy teacher. It seduces smart people into thinking they can't lose. Absolutely true. And so as I go through this, I really wanted in myself to get back to that rookie mindset. Now, at the same time, I remember when I was first called as in the bishopric. I was 25 years old. I had just moved into the ward, and the nature of my ward, as I've expressed on other podcasts, is very young ward, and so the leadership is generally younger. Lots of apartment complexes. We don't have any houses other than a handful, which you probably wouldn't want to live in. And so generally the leadership is younger. And I just remember this overwhelming feeling of being in the bishopric, and then, what was it, 4 years later, I was called as bishop. But still, you know, I'm in my 20s being a bishop, and it is overwhelming. But I now see that it was kind of an advantage in a lot of ways too. And but now that I've been being bishop for 4 years, I'm seeking to get back to that. And so Liz talks about in her book ways to get back to being a rookie. And there's a great quiz that she has online. I will post the link to it. But go on there and take it. There's 20 questions. It takes less than 5 minutes. And on that quiz, it was kind of interesting. I'll pull up my results here. Basically, this quiz will tell you, you know, if you're on the burned out zone or in your comfort zone, or if you're kind of in the red line zone, or if you're in the ideal spot, you should be in the learning zone. And I sort of failed. I'm in the red line zone, which means I'm probably too far in over my head with a lot of things. Not just in, I took this quiz from the perspective of my professional life and not just my church calling life. But really interesting. I encourage you to go and take the quiz, and it would be interesting if you share your results in the comments of this. But it kind of lets you know where you're at. But anyways, ways to get back to the rookie mindset that she talks about. One, always ask naive questions. If you're not asking questions, you think you've got it figured out, and that's going to impede your success as a leader. She also says to find opportunities to wipe the slate, start over, reset, get outside of going through the motions. Let go of the monkey trap. We've all heard of the monkey trap. Maybe some of us haven't, where they would trap monkeys by putting a treat or food in a box, and they'd fit their hand barely through the hole and grab the treat, but then because of the fist that their hand makes, they couldn't pull their arm out, and all they have to do is let go of what they want, let go of that resource, let go of the protocols and the established thought. And by doing that, it allows you to be free and think more openly. And one example of this, you know, we sort of get caught up in the protocols of the church, the handbooks of the church. And of course, I would never encourage anybody to go outside what the handbook says and do. But there's a lot of room there to move as a leader within a ward or an elders' quorum. Let me give you an example. Like I said, my ward is very untraditional. We have, at this moment I'm making this, there really, I think maybe one youth may have moved in, but we just simply don't have a youth program. And we go from having, I think we've been up to 4 youth, maybe 6 at one time in the last 3 or 4 years. But in general, it just goes maybe to 4 youth, but down to 0. But for the most part, we're usually to 0. And I remember sometimes we'll get a deacon that moves in, and he's the only youth and deacon, and I quickly make him the deacon's quorum president, because the fact that we have opportunity to have more, you know, priesthood keys diversified among the priesthood, the better. So anyways, and it got to a point where we would just call a young men's and a young women's president just because that's what wards have, you know, and it would get to the point where they would show up and twiddle their thumbs and be discouraged because there wasn't much to do, but all we were doing was following protocol of, well, every ward should have a young men's president, right? And so we stepped back and we said, you know, I'm going to let go of that mindset and say, how else can we better approach this? And so at the current time, we don't have any young men president. We don't have any young women's president, because there's no youth right now. And instead, we've turned to the ward mission and saying, okay, we want to assign specific people within the ward mission that are going to focus on reactivating youth or finding youth, if there even is any out there in our ward. So that's one way that we've sort of let go of the monkey trap and release our resources, release our protocols to do that sort of thing. Another thing she says to get back to a rookie mindset is multiply your expertise. Build a network. This is exactly why I started Leading LDS. I was a young, inexperienced leader, still am, and I thought, man, there's got to be better ways out there. We live in a 15 million person church. There are 25,000 to 30,000 bishops out there, branch presidents, and in those wards are various leaders. They have got to have better ideas out there. I've got to find a way to reach out to them. And so that's why I started Leading LDS, and that momentum is starting to go with sharing ideas, and it's such an amazing network. I'm so blessed to be a part of it, and I hope you look for opportunities to be more part of the Leading LDS network. But this is exactly one way we can stay in the rookie mindset, is to build a network of leaders that have ideas that are outside the box that allow us to be more effective leaders by applying better ideas. There's a quote in the book on page 88 that goes along this well. It says, "We find that not only do veterans tolerate rookie requests for guidance, they welcome the requests and want to help these proteges. Perhaps a mentoring gene kicks in." Brian Wong continues in his blog. He says, "Many people forget that the simple statement, 'I'd love to learn from you,' opens more doors than anything you can imagine. It's the ultimate statement of humility, respect, understanding, and curiosity. Through numerical ages, many of us forget to ask to learn. Maybe it's because we think we know enough, or that we may be rejected, or that it sounds needy." And that quote's on page 88 of the book. But this is exactly right. I want to be the person that says, "I'd love to learn from you." And that really is the premise of our How I Lead interviews, where many people are a little, you know, anxious or not as, they don't jump in line to be a part of that. But those out there that have some years of experience, we want to learn from you. So please contact me and let's set up a time to do that. But just in general, even if it's from maybe you're a high council rep, if you're in a bishopric and you have a high council rep in your ward, go to him and say, "You know what, I'd love to learn from you. What do you think about this problem?" And that allows you to continue to ask those naive questions that are going to lead to really, really good solutions of success. Another tip she gave in her book, Sister Wiseman gave, is reverse the mentoring. Ask a junior colleague to mentor you. Isn't this fantastic? Think of, and this would be so applicable in my ward that's so transient, but, you know, my executive secretary is so young, and he's new to the ward, and so what an opportunity I have to go to him and say, "Hey, would you mentor me a little bit? Will you help me get a perspective that you have as a new member of the ward?" Look for opportunities to have those that look at you for mentoring and say, let's turn the tables here a minute. Why don't I mentor you, or you mentor me for a minute? Let me ask you some really good questions to see if I can understand better. Okay, and another one she says is borrow a job, swap callings for a week. I like this. Now, I obviously can't, you know, there's some technicalities here you have to be careful of, but you maybe try being the Relief Society president if you're the Elders Quorum president for a week, right? Ask the bishop permission to go sit in Relief Society and sit up in the front and take notes and see their perspective. And I think that's such a good way to become a rookie, is to put yourself outside of your surroundings, right? You go to Elders Quorum every week, and the ho-hum of that meeting is usually the same every week. So go to another class and see how it goes, and that's where ideas will come. She also says, get your hands dirty. Get close to the action. I remember as a young Elders Quorum president just spending hours and hours and hours in the clerk's office organizing home teaching routes and, you know, making sure everybody has companionship. And sometimes you just have to get out of the clerk's office and go home teach. If you don't understand why people in your quorum aren't home teaching, go home teach with them, and maybe you'll understand why. And it's not the fact that, you know, just to get the home teaching done, but maybe there are things that they're experiencing that you never realized as a leader. So jump into the work and get your hands dirty. She talks about becoming a half expert, you know, that see how fast you can go halfway up the learning curve. And this is very true. You know, sometimes we're trying to become an expert too fast, but maybe just go halfway up the learning curve and stay there as much as you can, which allows you to continue to ask those naive questions, be open to new direction and new ways of doing things. This last tip she gave, I love, she says, staple yourself to a problem. Attach yourself to a complex problem and let it drag you to a new place. This is such a good way to maintain a rookie mindset. And I'll give you an example of how I did this. There is, in my ward, obviously a very transient ward, I just got to the point after about 3 years, I got so tired of not knowing who's even on the rolls, like who lives here still, because people come and go so quickly. And so I became utterly obsessed with my ward list. And I have a whole spreadsheet system, and I'll have to share it with you sometime for those in transient wards. But basically, I just said, if there's anything I do as bishop, I'm going to know who my sheep are, right? We always talk about, you know, being a good shepherd and being home teaching, and sometimes our ward gets caught up in the same, you know, going through those motions of worrying about, oh, is home teaching done? You know, did we get out and visit all those active members? And I stepped back and thought, why am I worried about those active members right now? Of course, I'm always worried about them, but why are they my top priority when I don't even know who 300 people on my rolls are? I need to get out there and figure out who these people are. So at least at the end of my leadership, I can say, you know what? We didn't save everybody. We didn't bring them all back to church, but I knew who they were. I knew what name that meant and whether they had moved or whether they were still in our jurisdiction. And I stapled myself to that problem, and I've come across so many new ideas and solutions by doing that, to a point that I'm really excited. Just yesterday I spent some time with this, and I'll share that another time, but basically I attached myself to this, and it took me in a new place, and I discovered new things about my ward I never discovered because I stapled myself to a problem that was so complex and so daunting. You know, and in this book, Liz does talk about, you know, there are some situations where putting a rookie in charge or being a rookie may not be the best scenario. One of those being, you know, when a single mistake is game-ending, you know, putting a rookie on the job could be disastrous. You know, if you're a heart surgeon and you think, oh, great, here's a new patient. Let's bring the doctor fresh out of medical school and have at it, buddy, see what you can do. And then the patient dies. You know, that can be disastrous. So there are times when putting a rookie on the job just isn't the case. But in LDS leadership, I don't know. It's hard to argue with 22-year-old Bishop Monson and the impact he had on those widows and their, I mean, the essence of being a rookie on the job is Bishop Monson, and to see the man he's become. And so, I mean, in LDS leadership, there's a few cases where the results would be disastrous. Maybe there's a few. I don't know if I sat down and really thought about it. But all right, again, I know I'm fire hosing you with a lot of information. You've got to read this book. This is a great leadership book. I encourage you to get it. And so you can really go through and internalize these concepts. But maybe listen to this podcast a few times because I really think these principles are strong, just so you can capture everything. Next part, she talks about perpetual rookie traits. And she gives four in particular: being curious, humble, playful, and deliberate. And starting with the first one, a rookie is always curious. On page 150, she references a clinical psychologist named Henry Cloud, and he said, Certainty is one of the weakest positions in life. Curiosity is one of the most powerful. Certainty prohibits learning. Curiosity fuels change. Love it. Don't hesitate to lose those you lead. So basically, don't hesitate to let those that you lead know that you really don't know. Okay, sometimes as leader, we want to prop ourselves up and position ourselves in a way that I've got all the answers, I know. And as a bishop in particularly, reminds me of times that people come into the bishop's office, and if you've been a bishop for 12 hours at least, you understand this, and they bring some daunting problems. And a lot of them look at you and say, "So what do you think?" Or, "All right, I'm here for direction, O wise leader. How's this going to work out?" And it's, you want to be the leader that says, "Oh, well, I've got a list of 10 things that will solve this problem." And they skip out of your office, you know, happy as can be. But that's just not the case. I'm a 32-year-old punk kid. At the end of the day, puts on a suit and tie, and people call him bishop. Okay, I don't have the answers. Okay. So when I'm in that situation in an office where a daunting problem is before us, I often just let the person know, to be honest, I don't know the answer to this. I've left my magic wallet, or my magic wand, sorry. I left my magic wand at home. I wish I brought it so I could just make this problem go away, but I don't know the solution. However, let's talk about it a little bit. Maybe we can refer to some scriptures. Let's just see if we can figure that out. And this may take a series of interviews or times that we meet, and let's part ways with some homework, that we let the scriptures bring answers to the surface, and then we'll come back here and we'll figure it out through the power of the Holy Ghost and our Savior and His atonement. Right? So as a leader, don't hesitate to just simply say, "I don't know. I don't know what to do, but we're going to figure it out. And I'm here with you. I'm getting my hands dirty with you. We'll figure this out." I think that's a great, great point of view. She talks, again, another trait of a rookie is being humble. And she references Thomas Chamorro, Prumizic. Professor of business psychology at the University College of London, says that awareness of our limitations, this realistically lowered sense of self, is actually conducive to success. He states, "After many years of researching and consulting on talent, I've come to the conclusion that self-confidence is only helpful when it's low." Sure, extreme low confidence is not helpful. It inhibits confidence. I'm sorry, it inhibits performance by inducing fear, worry, and stress, which may drive people to give up sooner or later. He explains that just low enough confidence helps people recalibrate and causes them to pay attention to negative feedback, work harder, and prepare more thoroughly, and avoid the appearance of arrogance and the delusion that often accompanies hubris. So in short, we have to maintain this healthy level of self-confidence, right? You get too much self-confidence as a leader. You know, I'm a stake president. I've been a bishop 4 times. I've been a mission president. I've got this figured out. That can be diminishing to your effectiveness as a leader. And, I mean, it's all over in the scriptures, humility. I mean, think of Christ. That guy, that Savior, never once left that state of humility. The love he shared, and obviously a whole nother podcast, but just avoiding that level of really high self-confidence. And I fall into this trait sometimes where I act like I'm self-confident, right? I want to be the leader that people feel comfortable with and confident with. And so I kind of prop myself as I'm very self-confident, but I got to be careful with that. The next one, rookie trait she mentions, is that rookies are playful. Believe that your calling should be fun, in my opinion, And there should be a level of playfulness in the church and how you run things in your particular meetings. If your meeting is boring, stop it. If your meeting is going through the motions, stop it. As a presiding authority, you have certain responsibilities to make sure that the meeting runs as it should, to make sure it's spiritual. And I think you have a certain responsibility to make sure the meeting is playful, that it is fun, that it's engaging, that it's a type of meeting that people want to come back to. And go to the point where you're even crossing the line maybe with being too playful. I would say you're better off asking forgiveness later to do something totally different than asking permission. One example is, I maybe need to link to the article. A few years back, a bishop just down the street from me, he dressed up one Sunday as a homeless man. I'm sure many of you heard this story. He dressed up as a homeless man and came to church to see how people reacted to him being there. Now, I think this situation is plagued with leadership problems, and that's, again, maybe another podcast. But I don't agree with how he handled it. But nonetheless, unless he tried something different, people remember that Sunday when the bishop did that. Now, I'd say he crossed the line in some parts, but it's better that he crossed the line than just stay with the status quo and going through the motions and not make church memorable at all, right? And finally, a rookie is deliberate. They know why they're doing these things. They're knowing why a rookie is the best way to go. All right, almost just finishing up here. She gives a section, Sister Wiseman gives a section about rekindling rookie smarts. And one tip she says is try to get fired. This goes back to what I just talked about asking forgiveness. Do things that may get you fired. Now be completely cautious when you do that. Okay, don't go too crazy. And I think most leaders, Elders Quorum Presidents, Relief Society Presidents, Bishops will know where that line is. But do things out of the ordinary. But for your job, your day-to-day job, I think this is great, great advice. Go do something so crazy that it almost gets you fired, but it's for the betterment of you being a rookie and you learning. Obviously, it kind of sounds weird when I'm saying it out loud, but you know what I mean. Do things that are cutting edge, that will make change happen quicker. She says, throughout your notes, dismiss the best practices and develop new practices. This is evident in home teaching traditions, right? We've sort of fallen into this conundrum of how home teaching's done, and every month we say the same announcement, and you should go out and do your home teaching and report back to me, and then we're going to do it all over again the next month. Take everything you know about the home teaching program and dismiss it, throw it out. As I have talked about before, which I will talk about more in the future, the handbooks in relation to home teaching are not very specific on how you do it, okay? And you will be shocked if you get a really close look at what it says about home teaching in the handbooks. You'll realize that a once-a-month visit is a very, very, very small part of what home teaching is, and there's many ways to go about it. And so dismiss any status quos or, what does she say, best practices that you think you have in regards to home teaching. The next thing she mentions about rekindling rookie smarts is surf with the amateurs. In other words, go to primary every once in a while. Seriously. Okay, if you're an Elders Quorum president who just doesn't know how to revitalize Elders Quorum, take a week with the bishop's permission, leave your first counselor in charge, and go sit in primary for 2 hours. You'll get ideas on how to make your quorum a little more playful, a little more engaging. I think that's a great, go surf with the amateurs. And nursery, every once in a while, I don't know. Nursery's kind of crazy. But I think there's a lot to learn there. All right, that was a lot of information. And again, I apologize for fire hosing you, but man, such a good book. I highly recommend it. Get it for your ward council and read it. Obviously, it can teach them some wonderful things. The best leaders are our learners, and I'm excited to apply this more in my life. And like I said, Liz Wiseman will hopefully be on the podcast in the next coming weeks. But I have so many more questions for her, and we can dive into these principles more effectively. But The best leaders are learners. Remember that. Be constantly learning. Consider those that don't have lengthy leadership experience when you need a new church, a new leadership calling filled. Okay? I would have never gotten this opportunity to be a leader at this time in my life. You know, if I was in a traditional ward in, you know, Sandy, Utah, or whatever it is, there's anything wrong with traditional wards, but it forced the leadership of the stake to take a chance on a young kid that didn't have a lot of experience. And I think I've brought a lot of good things to the table because of that, a lot of new, fresh ideas. But, you know, I've also have some limitations there too, I'm sure. But I think it's important for us to consider when we're choosing new elders, quorum president, a new bishop, you know, whatever it is, to really step back and think, you know, maybe a rookie would do really good here. Maybe we'll just roll the dice on somebody. And sure, there's some that would be a big gamble, but what's the worst thing that can happen? Really ask yourself that. If we call this in particular person that seems inexperienced, what's the worst thing that could happen? And would we be able to repair that? Is it going to be disastrous? Is this a situation where the surgeon has the patient on the table with the open heart and now you turn to the rookie? I don't think church leadership is that disastrous if it goes wrong. I mean, there's some outliers, but consider that the next time you fill a leadership position. I hope you join with me in committing to stay in a rookie mindset. You know, this book was so helpful for me at this point where, you know, I kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel in this calling in particular. And it makes me really analyze how I'm approaching tasks in my ward. What could I do differently to be the Bishop Frankham I was on week 4 as opposed to year 4? I hope you benefit from this. If you'll take a moment, maybe some ideas have come to mind, maybe some application ideas, come to Leading LDS and leave a comment on this post, and let's get a discussion going. If you haven't yet, also while you're at Leading LDS at the top of the page, be sure to join the Leading LDS community where we send out a weekly newsletter, and I bounce some ideas off you, and it becomes more of a board of directors for Leading LDS than anything. And it allows me to get some feedback of how to make Leading LDS a better resource. I don't want this to be my resource. I don't want to be the only voice on Leading LDS. I want to be just the manager of many voices. I want to bring new ideas to the table, and those ideas I don't have, I don't know anything. I want to be a rookie, and I can't run this resource without you, without people stepping up and saying, you know what, I've got an idea, let me share it. So until next time, be a leader and not a calling.